Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the Texans are done with practices in Ohio. Three of them, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're off today. Traveling to Pittsburgh, taking a bus.
It's only an hour and a half trip, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize Cleveland and Pittsburgh were that close.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a heated rivalry, I guess.
Big time, man.
I mean, I knew it was a heated rivalry. I didn't realize that geographically it was that intense.
Yeah, it's damn near a border skirmish. You know, they're very close to each other there.
With back over the whiskey tax, the pernicious whiskey taxes they used to charge back in the day.
And the big thing standing in between them is Youngstown, which I don't want to mess with anybody from Youngstown.
You watch out for Youngstown.
Yes.
Well, isn't that where Frank Ross is from? Or yes. He went to Youngstown State?
No, yeah. He went to John Carroll like the rest of them.
Oh, that's right. He went to John Carroll, but he's from Youngstown.
He is. Man, that's a tough town. The DeBartolos are from there, man. It's rough in Youngstown. Let's go out to the hotline right now. Somebody who had eyes on all three Texans practices, someone who you can hear on sideline duties tomorrow night for the Houston. Actually, no, not tomorrow night. Johnny Harris joining us right now, founder of footballtakeover.com as well. Johnny, I don't want to speak out of turn. Tomorrow not a sideline night for you? Is tomorrow a TV night for you?
Tomorrow is a TV night. I will be up in the booth with Indy Kalu and Kevin Kugler, so I am looking forward to that. And there might be a little bit of rain, so I get to avoid the rain, so that'll be kind of nice. But I love going to Pittsburgh. You know, last time we were in Pittsburgh, it was 2020, so it was the COVID year. So they basically drove us to the hotel, drove us to the stadium, then drove us to the airport. Didn't get to go out do anything, so I'm looking forward to getting there to Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'll be up in the booth with Indy and Kevin tomorrow night. That'll be kind of fun.
So, John, reading some of the reports of practice yesterday, it sounds like John Metchie's got an issue with drops this training camp that continued into yesterday's practice.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. I mean, some DBs have made some nice plays against John, but, you know, he made a nice catch in 7-on-7, I think, right? I think it may have been the last play of 7-on-7. And you just never know how one play can kind of flip it for a guy. He makes a great play, and then all of a sudden the confidence is there. He makes another great play in a game, and now it starts to roll a little bit. And I kind of felt like that was something that maybe he's lacking lately, because there have been some other receivers who step up and make some plays, and we're like, okay, you know, Jonathan, you got to make a couple plays too. And, you know, maybe he's pressing a little bit, and you can kind of see him getting down on himself. So, you know, there's been some struggles with that, but I'd love seeing him make that catch at the end for a touchdown. I mean, Tim Boyle rifled one on a slant near the back of the end zone, and John just went up and snatched it. You could tell when it was done. That was the last play of that 7-on-7. And, you know, I could hear teammates like, yeah, yeah, good bleep, John. Good stuff, John. You know, like really excited for him. So, you know, maybe that's the kind of thing that gets him going. But, you know, the proof will be tomorrow night in what he does with the time he's going to get. And I don't know how much time all those top receivers are going to get. You know, Stephon did not practice yesterday. You know, Tank and Nico did. I would imagine they'll get a drive. But there are going to be plenty of reps to go around that receiver group. And John's got to make the most of them. And the other night, it was Xavier Hutchinson who made the most of them. And every time Max does something, it just kind of amps his, you know, the quality that he brings to the game and the impact he's bringing to this team. So, you know, John's got to match that tomorrow night with, you know, 3-4 catches, make an impact play, and really kind of boost his confidence even more than it's been.
Which position group, Johnny, are you most looking forward to seeing just going against another colored jersey, going against some other team, as opposed to just going against the same guys every day?
It's the defensive front. I don't think we'll see Will. I don't know 100% sure. But you'll see Jerry Hughes, Derek Barnett, and, of course, you'll see Danielle Hunter for a little bit. But to me, the most intriguing group on a team, as my voice cracks, it's still early in the morning, I guess, is the interior defensive line. I think there's been so much talk about, well, they didn't do anything this offseason. They didn't do anything with the interior defensive line. Okay, well, Fadakasi, okay, well, whatever. Tim Settle, okay, like, who's he? But to me, it's been the improvement of guys that were already here. It's been the improvement of Khalil Davis. I mean, Khalil Davis was fantastic last year in that complimentary role to Rankins and Malik. But this year, he's taken over practices. Like, you're like, man, we got to get him out of the game, out of the practice, because we can't get anything done. This guy's just destroying us. Kurt Heinisch, the last week or so, has really kind of taken his game up a little bit. And those are two guys, they were that second group that came in behind Rankins and Collins. And they really did some good things. But I also want to see Fadakasi. Mario Edwards has really been difficult to block, whether back in Houston or in Ohio. So I'm really curious to see how that group, going against the Steelers group that will be without Isaac Seumalo, their starting guard, probably their best interior guy. So I think that's, you know, who cares? You know, I still want to see those guys up front and see how their style going against a different offense, you know, facing Justin Fields, slowing down Najee Harris. I want to see what that interior does. I'm really excited to see it. I don't know that that group, the D-line, played exceptionally well in the Hall of Fame game, but you didn't see Fadakasi. We didn't see Mario Edwards. You know, obviously we didn't see Danielle Hunter either. So hopefully we'll have a chance to see those guys a little bit and see maybe what this is going to start looking like as we move forward towards the Colts in week one.
You know, John, you know, it's interesting. The Steelers are playing because Cam Sutton is out. They've got Beanie Wells there playing their slot corner. And the Texans have a new guy playing their nickelback in Jalen Petrie. And I feel like they're just you're going to see a couple of guys going up against starters for the first time in that role. But I feel like Beanie for the Steelers is – he's a cornerback. So, like, you might feel more comfortable in some of the coverage side of things, but not necessarily against the run. Where are you with Jalen Petrie? Because with him, I feel like, yes, when he's the nickel linebacker, cool. If he's, like, on the line as the slot corner, that's not what I want. Are we going to see, like, a platooning with him most likely?
No, I don't think so, Seth. I think what's interesting about the nickel position or the star is there's – that player is so different. You had 32 different teams are going to have 32 different nickels. And some of them, like, you know, Mike Hilton, you know, with the Bengals, you know, he's a guy kind of like Jalen. Like, he gets close to the line of scrimmage. He blitzes a lot. You know, he plays the run. He's really quick and he can slip blocks. He's only like 5'8", 5'9", you know, and about a 180. But he's really good at those things, blitzing, creating mayhem. And then he can match up a slot receiver. Okay, it's not great, but it's okay. They don't like leaving him in man coverage. You know, Jalen's a lot like that, but he's just bigger. You know, the closer that Jalen is to the line of scrimmage, I think the more disruptive he's going to be. The thing about it, Seth, from the perspective of preseason games, is I don't know you'll see a lot from Jalen Petrie. I just think you're going to see him in pretty basic, you know, if they do go nickel, I think you'll see him in pretty basic stuff. You know, might be zone. They might man up a little bit. But I don't think they're going to show a whole lot of what Jalen actually is going to do during the year, because I think Jalen's going to blitz a decent portion. I think he's going to move around. I think he's going to blitz into different gaps. I think he's going to play the run maybe a little differently. So I think you'll see a little bit more conservative approach in the preseason. I'm curious to see how it fits, but I think it's more like what he did when he was at Baylor. Now, I'm with you. I don't know that I love seeing Jalen in a one-on-one, man-to-man situation. But if you can get to a point where you get a team to third down and it's a sure passing down, well, maybe there's some things you can do. Maybe that nickel ends up being more of a corner guy, maybe a third cover guy. Maybe you end up, you know, C.J. Henderson, hey, we want a true corner covering. Jalen, you go back and play safety. We'll put a third corner in the game because we feel better with the three corners matching up with the three wide receivers we'll see on third and whatever the passing situation might be. But I know in the preseason, you're not going to see much from Jalen Petrie. I just want to see him tackle well. His fundamentals have to be on point. But once the season starts, that's when I think you'll start to see Jalen Petrie kind of open up, because that's when the scheme opens up, and that's when you see a little bit more from D'Amico Ryan's defensive package.
John Harris joining us. He's been at the practices the last 3 days for the Texans in Ohio, Texans and the Steelers. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock kickoff here on Sports Radio 610. Johnny, we were talking yesterday about the rookie class, and I feel like the top four guys in this rookie class are all making the team and all look like guys who are going to contribute in some fashion to this team this year. You know, Lazarus, Fisher, Bullock, and Stover. And then you got the guys selected after that it feels like are all fighting for their lives for this 53-man roster, which is kind of new territory for the Texans, where every year for the last few years felt like, well, the draft picks are all making the team because there's no depth. Of the guys that are kind of battling right now, those sixth and seventh rounders, which one are you most looking forward to watching tomorrow night?
Well, I go back to the defensive interior. Marcus Harris, he's not a guy that looks like any of the other guys. I mean, he's shorter. He's probably shorter than 6'2". He's 280, but he's thick like a truck, and he's really quick off the ball. So it's not – the Texans haven't had a lot of guys like him. And, in fact, there are just not a lot of guys like him in the NFL. You don't find 6'1.5", 6'2", 280 playing in the NFL. The ones that did or have been Aaron Donald. They've been Ed Oliver. They've been those kind of players. They're special. They've had to be at that size. But Marcus Harris is really intriguing because his get-off is excellent. He's so quick off the ball. But he's also really strong and stout. And being a little bit shorter, he's a leverage winner. So at that interior position, they don't really have a guy like him. I mean, you know, Heinisch and Khalil, you know, Khalil's probably the closest they get, but Khalil's 305. So I don't know how that's going to fit, but I just feel like he can create some mayhem just getting upfield and penetrating, that he really fits the defense. He's just smaller than he's not smaller because he's pretty thick. He's lighter than a lot of guys that they've had. So I'm excited to see what he does. He had a rep. It was on Tuesday, and it was the slippery field, if you will. But he had a bull rush against Kendrick Green, and Kendrick knew, okay, I'm going against a shorter guy. I got to get down. So he's trying to get his pad level down, and Marcus just bull rushed him, and Kendrick's feet just slid right out from under him, and he basically face planted. But that's because Marcus Harris can play at that particular level, that pad level, and I think he could be very disruptive. I think the guy that's got to make some plays is Jamal Hill. He's got to make it. I mean, the linebackers, you're already limited because you're probably only playing two most of the time anyways. So that linebacker group, Jamal Hill's got to crack into it, and it's going to be tough. If Jake Hansen's ready to play, D'Amico talked a lot about what he sees from Jake Hansen, really likes him. You got some versatility with some of those other guys. You know, Neville Hewitt's probably going to make it because of what he does on special teams. Mm-hmm. Jamal Hill can run, but he's got to start making the right moves in coverage, which he didn't the other night. And that's something that's got to change. And if he's going to make this team, that's where it's really got to start coming into fruition for him at that position. But I'm really intrigued about Marcus Harris to see what he does against the Steelers.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna slip Marcus Harris some forbidden pictures of Jerry Ball. I have a dream of turning a 6'1" dude into a 340-pound run stuffing machine. The thing about guys like Jerry Ball, for the kids, Jerry Ball was 6'1", listed at like 340, but bigger than that, and an absolute machine. You have to be incredibly athletic to be able to carry that much body weight, and I think Marcus Harris can pull it off.
Yeah. It's not even his real name. They just called him that because he looked like a ball.
He was an immovable rock is what he was.
Man.
Yeah, but Jerry Ball was a fullback in high school.
Right.
If I remember correctly, he went to Beaumont Westbrook, and he was a fullback.
Yeah, most of those guys are
massive.
Right, Keith Traylor also was like super, like a track runner when he was. Those guys that to be able to carry 350 plus pounds, you have to be an incredibly you have to be fast enough that by the time you're slowed down, you're still kind of fast. Yeah. So
I mean, what am I saying? Vita Vea was a tailback in high school.
Oh my god,
he was 350. So
he ain't
yeah,
fat.
I mean, he can be done. Yeah, he's not fat. He's big boned, as they say.
Okay, so tell me this. This is where I'm trying. I wish the Steelers weren't in the AFC because there's a part of me that is just fascinated by the Justin Fields pairing up with Arthur Smith and also potentially Brandon Ayuk and George Pickens. That, like, what are my chances that Justin Fields actually ends up being a different version of himself this year?
0%. He's going to be the same guy. He's going to be the same guy. I mean, they might. It's just he's not. He's not a consistent, accomplished thrower. I should say it that way. He's a thrower, not a passer. And once he becomes a passer, it'll be very dangerous. But, I mean, George Pickens is going to lose his bleep when Justin Fields sails three balls over him against the Browns.
Tomlin said that Justin Fields' footwork is much improved. He doesn't have the happy feet in the pocket and everything. He's one of these guys, like kind of Josh Allen would have been in college, where he's just got such crazy arm talent that he's never had to learn the actual right mechanics. So if you could just, if maybe getting kicked in the butt and a blow to the pride a little bit of being traded does that for him to motivate him, maybe that'll be the thing.
Okay, I'm gonna ask this in all seriousness because I'm kind of thinking myself. Think about a quarterback that came from college that had bad mechanics, but, you know, good athlete, but bad mechanics. That eventually
Josh Allen and Dak Prescott are the guys that, like, actually improved their footwork and stuff, not, like, bad mechanics.
I would say those are the two. I would say those are the two. And the thing is, the answer to that question is those two, and that goes to show you how often it doesn't happen, that guys just don't improve, though it's so ingrained in them to throw a particular way. that it's really, really hard to break all that down. I would say Jalen Hurts probably improved. Jalen Hurts improved in college, mm-hmm. and got a little bit better as he moved into the league. But it's so rare.
Yeah.
And you got to have the right mindset. And hopefully Justin Fields got a kick in the backside. So I'm encouraged to see and excited to see him. You know, I don't want to see him play well. But I know when I saw him in 20, when we go to Chicago, 22, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was that was ridiculous.
Yeah, he looked like he was on his way out of the league. In that, like, yeah. That was week three of that season, and he looked god awful in that game. Johnny, are you in Pittsburgh yet? What's the travel plan?
No, we're busing today. We leave here probably about 2:30. We've got about a 90-minute to 2-hour bus ride. It's not a bus ride I've taken before, so I don't quite know, but we're getting on the bus, 7 buses or 8 or whatever we got, and then we're going up there, and we'll get up to the hotel, and I finally get to go to a TV production meeting tonight. It's going to be kind of fun. So I get all the inside info. It's going to be awesome. I'm really
you guys probably stop at a Shoney's along the way.
Yeah.
And you stop at a Shoney's.
Yeah.
Maybe D'Amico will take you to McDonald's. if you guys win the game, you can take the bus to McDonald's afterwards.
That'd be big.
Yeah. Or a Bob Evans. I mean, Mark and I have eaten at Bob Evans 3 straight days in a row.
Stuckey's?
Stuckey's.
Yeah.
Bob Evans, Shoney's. We'll definitely hit. I don't know if we'll hit a Wawa. I think that's more
a
Philly thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Eastern Pennsylvania thing. Yeah. So, I'm excited. You're going to go to Primanti Brothers at some point to get a sandwich, probably tomorrow. That might be breakfast. I don't know. Who knows? That might be the pregame meal, but I'm excited. I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a really cool city. I think it's totally underrated. So, we're getting on a bus and taking off in a little bit here.
Good deal. All right. Well, Johnny, we'll let you get back to that. We will talk to you tomorrow in the pregame show. It'll be the next time that we chat with you. Hey, man, appreciate you making time for us all week long and giving us the insight that on the things that we didn't get to see out at training camp. Really appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, boys. Miss you. We'll see you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. See you back in Houston. We'll talk to you tomorrow during the pregame show, Texans Countdown. John Harris joins us right out of the chute. Tomorrow to be at about 3:15 or so. So tune in for that. He'll be right there on site. And he's on the TV. He's excited about that. He should be. Him and ND Kalu and Kevin Kugler on the Channel 13 feed tomorrow. So,
cool.
Yeah.
So this is NFL Network showing the, like, are they doing their own broadcast or are they showing Pittsburgh?
It's a good question, Seth. I think at this stage, they're pulling local feeds from games. And the Texans Steelers game is the one that they're advertising on the ribbon that goes, or the ticker that goes across the bottom of the screen. So, I don't know if the NFL Network is pulling our feed or if they do it, maybe they just do it like from the home team, and that would be Pittsburgh in this case. So, I don't know. We'll see. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to the Texans, but the Astros had a big night last night. Got the silver boot, retained the silver boot. I think more importantly, yesterday, it seems like there's good news on the injury front for this team. We'll see. Can we believe what we're hearing when it comes to that? We'll dig back into what happened with the Astros yesterday, and we'll do that coming up next.